This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's also fantasy football season.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
In a fantasy league, you need one quarterback, two running backs, a couple of tight ends. So clearly, New England Patriots are playing fantasy football. One quarterback on the Patriots depth chart, Mac Jones. Two running backs. Is this a PPR league? I hope so. Because Devontae Parker,
I hope so,
might have a lot of catches.
Earlier on the show, Florida State head coach Mike Norvell. Coming up, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're about to take your phone calls. Chris Collinsworth is going to join us shortly from NBC Sports and Pro Football Focus. 1 week from today, he will be somewhere in Kansas City, maybe having a barbecue lunch before heading off to GEHA Stadium at Arrowhead or whatever they're calling it now. For Lions Chiefs. Whole country's gonna watch. Can't wait. Hashtag.
Can't wait.
Earl Bart Scott when it comes to that game.
We made it.
Chatted with Mike Norvell, Florida State head coach. Spent a bit of time talking about Talladega College graduate Deion Sanders in hour number one as well. Kirk Ferentz of Iowa football will be joining us in hour number three. Before we get to the phone lines, I want to talk a little bit about the Las Vegas Raiders welcoming Josh Jacobs back to the fold. He spoke. We have his teammate Max Crosby on Friday's show. He had a reschedule. He is scheduled once again back on our docket for tomorrow. The Condor will be on the phone.
What a name.
It is a great name. He's got a wingspan. That's for sure. And he's got a running back teammate who's been paid a little bit more than the franchise tag. So the Raiders did do what the Giants did for Saquon.
Got a new number.
And Josh Jacobs spoke via Zoom yesterday, I believe. And he spoke about whether there's any hard feelings between him and the Raiders.
I mean, we here. I mean, I feel like, you know, we made it happen. So it ain't no hard feelings now. I mean, I feel like I said, we made it happen. So it's a clean slate with me. It was never like really just like, you know, no hate on each side. I understood it, but at the same time, I understood my value too. So it was just about meeting in the middle.
I was not expecting a bleep immediately.
Yeah, that was he came out hot.
Bleep. We're here.
Hey, we're here, man.
I just love it. On one end, on one end, you got bleep. We're here, and on the other end of this conversation, you got we could all be dead, and no one's going to miss us. You're not getting paid.
Look, the league's going to go on with or without us.
Come on my bus.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing.
That was hilarious.
And I just, I don't know what it is, man.
tell you what, man.
I just don't know what it is. It's just, I can't shake the Raiders. I just can't shake them.
Yeah? You feeling it?
Well, the autumn wind is a pirate.
That is true.
And I understand, you know, they put their eggs on the pirate ship of Josh McDaniels. They did. And I just can't shake the fact that McDaniels has the quarterback he wants.
I think that's fair to
and
say.
And the last time he had the quarterback that he wants as the head coach of an NFL team, it was Tim Tebow, right? I mean,
they won games.
Very high register there.
And they got blasted in the playoffs.
Well, he wasn't the coach. That was John Fox when that happened with Tebow. He was long gone, man. Oh. He's the one who drafted him.
All right.
He's the one who drafted him. And don't forget, like, Elway came in, brought in Fox, and he goes, we're not doing this for Tebow until they had to. You know, when Kyle Orton ran out of gas, they had to do it. And then all of a sudden, Tebow time hit. And that was a real thing. People.
Tebow time
was a real thing. I saw it in person. Again, Thursday night game against the Jets and Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
And he was throwing it way out of bounds, like he was throwing it with his feet.
I remember you said that once.
And then 4 minutes to go, and all of a sudden he turns into Elway.
Yeah. No, you're right. That was 2011.
And Peyton Manning was the only one who allowed Elway to stage the bloodless coup of Tebow Mania in Denver, where they didn't want Tebow going anywhere. Yeah. Until, oh, we can get Peyton Manning? Oh, okay. Seth, whatever. That. Send him to the Jets. Anyway, long story short. McDaniels wants this guy. You know? He wanted this guy. He's got him. It's Jimmy G. What if the Jimmy G of, you know, 49ers fame shows up and wings it around, and he knows the offense, and this is, and he's going to run it the way McDaniels wants it. And hey, Jimmy, just be careful when you throw it between the numbers, will you please? What if Josh Jacobs, as he said yesterday, is ready to roll, and he needs the proverbial one rep to get ready? And the Josh Jacobs, who ran for 1,653 yards. There is, I believe, the photograph we have on the screen for our radio audience, including those listening in the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada, home of this year's Super Bowl. I believe that's the game in Seattle where he walked it off, or he ran it off. Remember that in overtime? Mm-hmm. What if that Josh Jacobs shows up? What if the Devontae Adams of Rodgers' years and his success shows up? And his year's not about what's happening and who's walking in his path and what he does to that individual while strolling off fields of games that he was up 2 touchdowns in and lost. You know? What if? They could be the biggest what if team again of this year. Dude. You know? Jacoby Myers is not a bad addition. Renfro, Devontae, Josh Jacobs, Jimmy G. They let Waller walk, I know, but he's not a McDaniels tight end either, it appears, right? I think Josh just sent him packing. It's the, I know they don't want to talk about it, it's the Patriot way being brought to Las Vegas, Nevada.
What are you doing? You going to pick them to make the playoffs?
I don't know. I don't think so. I can't do it again.
You did the West last week when I was gone.
I'm burned.
What'd you have the West standings at last week?
My West standings were what you'd think. Chargers.
Chiefs, Chargers.
Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos.
Okay.
That's what I had.
Chargers make the playoffs?
Put the Raiders schedule in.
Oh, here we go.
Put it up there.
Come on now.
I mean, we'll do win-loss in a second. I'm not going to do the win-loss for the Raiders. I don't think we've had anybody do that, have we? Which somebody did call in. Yeah.
Did somebody call in?
Dark Side Don in Vegas called in and asked and put him at 10-7. We should get Musburger to do this.
That is optimistic. 10-7. That is a hard schedule.
Look at this first two. At Denver, at Buffalo.
That's 0-2.
Home for Pittsburgh. At the Chargers.
That could be 0-4.
Or they could be 2-2.
Home for Green Bay. Are you going to week 6 against New England?
It's looking likely.
Okay. I mean, let me make sure here. The week 6. Oh, yeah. So just, that's what you should do. Just sell your Rams Cardinals tickets, Chris, and then go to Vegas and watch that game.
I might cover a drink at the game.
Okay, there you go. So,
I think it could be rough. I mean, they could be what, 4-8 at the bye week.
Good Lord, they needed Josh Jacobs, or they could start surprising some teams and put some points on the board. I mean, you know better than most humans how McDaniels' offense, when operated by somebody
very good
who knows how to do it, knows what the coach wants, knows how the coach can set you up to make quick, decisive throws to guys who are schemed open. And, you know, this offense has worked, clearly. I understand who is the one operating it. But with running backs and wide receivers of far less individual success than Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. These are some really talented people. And
are you going to pick them to beat the Broncos?
I'll just say he's got a small white receiver in the slot.
Nice.
Okay. I don't know if that's what they call it in the offense, but they got it.
hey, small white guy, run to the slot.
Yeah. Do those China routes that you do so well.
Are they going to beat whatever they call them? You're not going to pick them to beat the Broncos, though, are you?
Why not?
No, well, I'm asking you. Are you going to pick them?
In week one?
Yeah. At Denver, Sean Payton, Russ is lean and mean.
Is Sean Payton, is he suiting up? Is he?
He's coaching him up.
Right. This is what I'm talking myself into right now, yes.
Wow.
Got to get that leg up on game day morning.
Man, oh, man.
Let's
it's
go.
Rival. No reason the Raiders can't win that game.
Tariq in New Jersey. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Tariq?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
I am fine. Where in the fine Garden State are you calling from?
Central Jersey. The governor just made it a law. We finally exist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, that was like a couple, last
what?
Week.
What?
Wait a minute, yeah.
What? What does that mean?
There's North, Central, and South Jersey.
It's called Central. That's what I called it.
It's where they don't know.
When my parents lived in Marlboro, New Jersey.
They don't know. They don't quite know.
Marlboro is Central Jersey. So in the state of New Jersey, people from the North and people from the South don't agree that we exist. We're like a lost land.
Oh, congratulations.
People from the South say we're North, and people from the North think we're South. It's weird.
Okay. Very good.
Taylor Hammer pork roll.
What would you like to do today, Tariq? What do you want to do
win
here?
Lost game, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, but you are, again, do we need to vet?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like the name Acrisure for your stadium?
I do not.
Okay.
You're in.
Okay.
Pass the test.
Very easy test. Home for the San Francisco 49ers. Win-loss game of the Steelers starts off with a big one. What do you got, Tariq?
Oh, that's a win. We don't lose week one.
Okay.
Ooh, baby. I like this.
I didn't know that. Browns at home on a Monday night.
That's another win.
At the Raiders.
That's a win.
At the Texans.
That's definitely a win.
A 4-0 start.
Yes.
Going against the Ravens at home.
What's the next one?
Home against the Ravens.
Home against the Ravens, that's a win.
That's a
5-0 start.
Hashtag here we
go.
Let's go. All right, then a bye week to cool him off, unfortunately. At the Rams, 5-0 coming out of the bye.
Out of the bye, it's the Rams. That's another one. That's a win.
6-0 home for the Jaguars.
I'll take a loss on that one.
Oh, geez. 6-1 home for the Titans on a Thursday night.
That's a win.
7-1 home against the Packers.
That's a win. Jordan Love is not. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Wow. Eight and a derisive Jordan Love comment from Central New Jersey. All right. 8-1 at the Browns.
That's a loss.
8-2 at the Bengals.
That's at the Bengals. That's a loss.
8-3 home for the Cardinals.
That's a win.
9-3 Thursday night at home against the Patriots, against the semifinal of the NBA in-game tournament.
That's a win.
Win. Okay. So that's now 10-3 at the Colts.
That's a win.
11-3 home against the Bengals on a Saturday night.
That's a win.
12-3 at the Seahawks.
What is happening?
That's a loss.
12-4 at the Ravens.
That's a win.
13-4 from Tariq in New Jersey.
Man.
Thank you so much. Kenny Pickett for MVP, if that happens, right?
I mean, my division crown. Also, Steelers 35-1 to be the last undefeated team.
Chris, I don't know. Do you think 6-0 would do that? 6-0,
maybe. Well, hold on. Jake Tapper said 16-1, right? So
hold on a minute. I don't know when he's got. Let me see.
Hold on.
Hold on. No, I've got it all here. Hold on. I've got it all here.
On my damn
agenda. Oh, wait a minute. No, yeah. Jake had him winning their first 9 before losing to the Chiefs. By the way, I would like to know
9. Okay.
How many of the win loss games have been played where their teams win them all until they get to the Chiefs?
Has anyone picked them to beat the Chiefs yet?
Nah,
I don't think anybody's been. I got to do a lot more research of what I've written down here.
Everyone is losing to the Chiefs.
We also have not gotten anybody calling in to do the win-loss game the Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right, Chiefs Kingdom, where are you at? Let's go.
Hashtag.
Call us
I
right now.
I told you, let's get, you know, Rudd or, I mean, like I said, Stone Street's probably a little too close.
17-0.
I mean, he's going 17-0 for
exactly.
sure.
There's no question.
He's part owner, I think.
Right? NHTSA yeah. wants you to know, if you're out with a few friends and with a few drinks becomes a few too many and you decide to drive anyway, what's the worst that can happen, right? Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. When we come back, the great Chris Collinsworth of NBC will be joining us in Pro Football Focus's Chris Collinsworth, all in one. 844-204-RICH is also the number for you to dial. Hey, everybody. With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be just like me, looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your lifestyle. Refresh your healthy habits right now without missing a beat. Choose from 34 or more weekly flavored, packed, dietitian approved meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. Level up with gourmet plus options prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. So go to factormeals.com/Eisen50 right now and use the code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
The NFL is here, and it's all about the sweet offers from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FIELDGOAL to sign up. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
What is it like when you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box yeah. that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands, and I love making plays. And I don't know. It's just the game, man. Like that feeling when everybody knows and they can't stop it. It's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for like us as a team. And you know, I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach?
Oh,
yeah, I seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that
yes,
was coming for
definitely
you?
Definitely know Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because
yes.
you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So I remember the first time he kind of turned around,
yeah,
and I could have turned up field, but I was so focused on this, like giving him a shove, that I ran myself out of bounds. But yeah, I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was. Yeah.
Love all of Derrick Henry's appearances in the history of our show. It's all on our YouTube page. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, part of the Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's one of the best to ever do it, and he is getting set for another season in the booth on Sunday Night Football and NBC's coverage of the National Football League that begins 1 week from tonight with the big kickoff in Kansas City, the banner raised for the Chiefs against the Detroit Lions. Chris Collinsworth back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Chris?
Rich Eisen, what's happening, baby? I just got to tell you that this year, out of all the years that you dogged my good friends, the Ohio State Buckeyes, mm-hmm. at the annual induction ceremonies in Canton, Ohio, mm-hmm. I thought this year you crushed them harder. It was legitimately funny. There was nothing they could say back. And it was game over. Game, set, and match for Rich Eisen.
Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate it. I overhand smashed it. And I love the silence and the booze at the same time. It's pretty cool. I drink the tears. I appreciate that. And it was great. I figured you were in the audience because Fred Gadelli went in, the longtime producer of Sunday Night Football, and now Thursday night, and also now moving on from that into the Hall of Fame. And, it was pretty sweet to see everybody there.
It was a great night. Freddie deserves it. He's the best that's ever done it. He just is absolutely amazing, the work that he's put in over the past, 25 years plus of primetime coverage between Monday Night Football and Sunday Night and ESPN days and all the days of doing all the college basketball with Dick Vitale and the College World Series. This guy, he's seen it all, but he never stopped grinding, and they absolutely got it right, putting him in the Hall of Fame. That's great.
Did you ever go across the middle on Mel Blunt, Chris? Did that ever happen in your life, in your career?
No, because I could never get to the middle. I could never get off the line of scrimmage against Mel Blunt. Not only was he big and fast, but his arms felt like they were like 8 feet long, each one of them. And just trying to get off the ball and release down the field and try to make a play, it was tough. He is a very, very, very underrated player. And I was playing him really more towards the end of his career. I can't imagine what he was like when he was in his prime.
Well, that's why they changed the rules, right, Chris? Pretty much.
And they darn well should have, too, because, that whole team, though, that whole defense. I can honestly remember I went out on the field. We played them, I want to say, week two or three of my rookie year. Mm-hmm. And, the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you grew up when I did in the 70s, being in high school and junior high and everything, the Steelers won everything, right? They won 4 Super Bowl titles. And so I literally went out and sat on the bench and watched them warm up a little bit. I had to get over the fact that I was playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was mind-boggling for me. And there was multiple times, but the one in particular I remember was Kenny Anderson calling a slant and early in the game, in this particular game. And I'm thinking, I got to take about 5 steps up here and turn left and run right into where Jack Lambert's going to be. And I remember thinking, that does not seem like a great concept to me, but they're going to pay me to do this.
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and do this, mm-hmm. no matter what my body and no matter what my brain is telling me to do. And so I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. So I break the huddle and I was like, come on now, don't be afraid. You're an NFL player now. I said, I might catch this thing and run right over Jack Lambert. I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to go. So Anderson gets the line of scrimmage, hut 2, 3, 4, here we go. And I jump off about 4 or 5 steps up the field, take a hard left, run right in towards Jack Lambert. And that sucker hit me so hard. He hit me so hard, and he's lying on top of me. And he took his elbow and he put it down into my throat, and he raised his knee up into my groin. And he grabbed my face mask, and he looked at me, and he said, Collinsworth, if you ever come over the middle again, I'm going to kill you. So I come staggering to my feet, and I'm waddling back over to my huddle, and I got this big smile on my face. And Anthony Munjo, our great all-pro, looked at me and said, what the heck you smiling about? Jack Lambert almost killed you over there. I said, I know, but he knew my name, man. Jack Lambert knew my name.
I love that story, Chris. And, one of my favorite moments of my entire TV career, sitting on the NFL film set with you and Belichick for the NFL 100 all-time team show, and we had Mean Joe Green in studio. And this was one of the later shows that we did in our shoot. So Belichick was feeling more comfortable on set doing these shows. And we're getting set to record the Mean Joe Green segment. And he says the only time he said in the 2 days we did our shoot together, Chris, was he's like, would you mind if I ask the first question? So I'm like, no, go ahead. Like, I can't wait to hear what you want to ask Mean Joe Green about. You know, Steel Curtain this or growing up watching that and all of that. And the first question you asked him about the Coke commercial. I'll never forget that. I mean, he's just like, tell me, how many takes did that take, Mean Joe Green? It was unbelievable. He was like the kid in the commercial asking me Joe Green for his jersey, Chris.
It was. It was fun. You know, everybody has to be somebody, right? On Sunday night, I have to be somebody on your shows, on your multiple shows. You've got to be somebody. But every once in a while, somebody takes you out of character, right? Somebody takes you back to that childhood moment and thing that you can remember the most. I remember for me, I was a kid who grew up in Florida, and I loved everything Baltimore. I have no idea why. I love the Colts. I love Johnny Unitas and Mackey and Tom Maddie and all those things. But I also love the Orioles. So that was my city. That was my team. I'm probably the only kid that ever left Florida, made his parents take him on vacation to Baltimore, Maryland. And that's where we went. And I go up there, and I saw a couple of Orioles games and just loved it. Well, many, many years later, I was doing a radio show in Cincinnati, hosting the show here, and Boog Powell came around pitching something. I don't know what it was. I was like, oh, absolutely. Sign him up. I'll sell whatever he's got on the radio. And so he comes on, and I can remember, I mean, I've done this forever. I've played in Super Bowls. I could barely talk to that man. It was like I became this, like, 12-year-old boy again trying to talk to the great Boog Powell, and it's funny how some people just get you like that.
No doubt. Chris Collinsworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, well, let's jump into this playing season. What are you most looking forward to having answered from all the questions we've been asking since last year's Super Bowl the most?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the AFC this year, to be honest with you. I just don't remember a time. Maybe you have to go back to the 70s and, you know, all those great Dolphin teams and the Steelers and the Raiders. And I mean, you know, when it was just unbelievable. But this is as loaded as I can ever remember the AFC being. I mean, I almost have to pick out teams that I don't think have a chance to win the AFC this year. And it's a pretty small number. And even those, like, I would probably put the Patriots in that mix, but you got Bill Belichick coaching that team. So do they have a chance? Yeah, probably. Everybody in the North, I think, has a chance. I don't know what the Colts are going to do, but there's only a handful of teams now that you just go. I mean, even the Broncos, you go, could with Sean and Russell, could they do it? Of course they could. And so, I mean, it's just one of those years, I think. And for me, I look at it like these teams are going to be so battle tested come playoff time that the teams that win the division may not be the ones that are going on, you know, that you're going to see some team that gets healthy at the end of the year. And all of a sudden, you know, they're coming out of the wild card and they're going to make a run. And you just wonder if the NFC is going to be like that. Now, we all get fooled, right? But, Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, pick out who else you like. You may like the Lions. You may like the Vikings. Maybe the Giants. You know, whoever, the Seahawks. Whoever it is that you think. But it's not that across-the-board sort of just powerhouse that it feels like that the AFC is right now.
How real do you think the Jets are, Chris?
Tell me why they can't win it. I mean, I watched their defense. We did our fantasy football draft last night. And if you need fantasy help, go to pff.com. Give you all you need.
Yep.
But we did our fantasy draft last night. And I almost took them with the first overall pick of when we got down to picking the defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Over the 49ers, over the Steelers, over... But somebody took them ahead of me. I mean, they can rush the passer. They have two tremendous cornerbacks, the young cornerbacks on the outside. They finished fourth or fifth in the league in defense last year. That everybody in that organization thinks they're much better than what they were a season ago. And you've got a guy who's won two out of the last three MVPs playing quarterback for you now. And with rookie of the year on the offensive side and potentially the other rookie of the year if he hadn't gotten hurt halfway through the season. So I think it's a good mix of young and old. It's a coaching staff that's been together now for a little while. And they've got a two-year window, apparently, here with Aaron Rodgers, where, I think they're as good as anybody.
Yeah, you're going to see some tests, obviously, firsthand on Sunday night. Real quick, Miami at New England is huge. Pittsburgh at Vegas. Then you got a crown jewel, which is Rodgers welcoming in Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So you get the Chiefs twice in the first month of the season. I'm assuming you haven't been to Kansas City just yet. What's the weaknesses here? I look at their receiving core, and that just looks like cheese to be taken because Juju's gone and Kadarius Toney has not been a health. He hasn't been healthy. I'm just wondering what could the Chris Jones holding out? I don't know what could take him out this year, Chris.
Yeah, I think it has to be among those things, though, right? I mean, the idea that they took Tyreek Hill out of that lineup last year and nothing changed, right? It was out of everything that happened a season ago. To me, that was the most mind-boggling. And maybe if Tyreek hadn't done what he did in Kansas City, you go, oh, well, it was just Mahomes. But what he did in Miami was unbelievable. So now I think it comes down to, some health issues, right? Kadarius Toney can be unbelievable. I mean, my line on him is if the whole NFL played tag, he would win. Nobody can get to that guy. When he was in Florida, he just couldn't cover him. Rashee Rice is a nice player back there. Sky Moore, I think, in year two is going to come in. This Justin Ross, when he was at Clemson, Justin Ross in his freshman year was like the world record holder. Like nobody had a freshman year like this guy had. He had some injuries. He had a neck thing, he had a foot thing. He had some things, but if he can be the guy. So I think there is that uncertainty with the receiving core. Travis Kelce, you want to think he can play till he's 50. At some point, people usually begin showing some sign of age that he hasn't yet in his mid-30s here. But probably what happens at the two tackle positions, they pay big money. They change out both tackles for Juwan Taylor, and they go get Donovan Smith, who struggled with some injuries, had a tough year last year. So I would think Donovan Smith at the left tackle is the guy they're going to have to probably try and help a little bit. But realistically, Travis Kelce was chipping all year last year and going out and still had this unbelievable season. So I don't know what slows you down if you have 15 playing quarterback back there. But Chris Jones is a great player. You take Chris Jones out for half a season, when that's what he's talked about. Is he going to hold out for half a year or not? That will be tough to overcome.
Chris Collinsworth, Sunday Night Football and Pro Football Focus at Collinsworth PFF, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few more minutes. Give me an NFC team we're not talking about enough, Chris. Who are we not?
NFC team we're not thinking about.
Correct.
Enough. I'm going to say the Saints, because I do think that they're going to be a really good-looking team on the defensive side. I mean, I can remember watching them going against Tom Brady and exactly, what all they were able to do to him on the defense. And then adding Derek Carr. And I know Derek Carr really hasn't ever won anything, but he can keep it together. I don't think that Derek is going to crack the code. He's going to know what he's doing. He's going to know how to run Pete Carmichael's offense. He's going to be able to get it done. And then the defense is going to be hopefully what it has been. So I just think in a lesser division in the NFC South, they could be that team that ended up winning 12 kind of games and getting some home playoff games in that dome and could scare the Philly, Dallas, San Francisco crowd this year.
And then let's do that for the AFC, because we're all focused on the division winners from last year, and for good reason. The Jets, we just hit with Rodgers, and clearly there's somebody lurking out there that's going to pop in and maybe make the playoffs when they didn't last year. Which is that AFC team in your mind?
I really feel like anybody out of the AFC North could end up there. So I'm going to do a block grant there to myself and say that's a possibility. But I really think that we have to think in terms of what the Chargers could be. And I do this every year. I feel like it's dope every year, because I do it every year. Because I just keep looking at this franchise and going, what? what is it that you don't feel good about, at least on the offensive side of this thing? And now you throw in Kellen Moore. And Kellen Moore is going to be one of the most talked about guys in the league this year, and probably half the audience has no idea who I'm talking about. He was the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Basically, he got fired. And Mike McCarthy's going to take over the play calling there. So they think that they're going to get more big plays and everything there. And then Kellen Moore, who had like top five offenses, number one offenses, the whole time basically he was there with the Dallas Cowboys, comes over and is going to take over with Justin Herbert, who has as much talent as anybody. They signed this Quentin Johnson out of TCU, who was absolutely, one of the most dynamic players there. And then it's, can Keenan Allen stay healthy? Can Mike Williams stay healthy? Is Austin Eckler, who I would think is not going to be in a very good mood this year and wanting to prove something, as all the contract stuff went crazy for running backs this year. So I just keep looking at this thing, Rashawn Slater. I mean, Corey Linsley at center. There are some really, really good players on this offense that I think they could be dynamic. They should be dynamic, assuming Bosa and Mack are healthy and good.
So 1 week from tonight, as we know, you're in the booth to kick it all off. Who do you think winds up in the Super Bowl? Chris, you see all the numbers at PFF, and you're prepared more than anybody else for this season. What do you got for me on that front?
I've never done this before. It's my first time ever.
Okay.
And I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals. If they can't win it, I can't tell you why, unless Joe Burrow's calf ends up being a bigger deal. You know, if Joe Burrow makes it through the year, this is a guy who has done just phenomenal things. He beat, Patrick Mahomes three straight games. And the one he lost in the championship game at Kansas City, if they don't get a late push out of bounds by Osai, I think it was,
yep,
they probably go into overtime in that game, and we see how it goes. They add Orlando Brown at left tackle. Their skill positions, I'll match up with anybody in the league. Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. That's really good. That's really good. And they've improved on the offensive line. I think Lou Anarumo, I don't know how much time you've ever spent with him, but a very, very smart guy who's going to change up. They've got some real speed back in the secondary now. This Cam Taylor-Britt is going to be a star. Hopefully Chidobe Awuzie comes back. But Dax Hill, Nick Scott, they're young, they're talented. DJ Reader's a hell of a player. I look at them and I go, why not? And unfortunately for them, this is probably when the window closes. They're going to have to pay Joe. They're going to have to, not have. But right now, they have all these guys on the roster, and this is their shot. And why not? I think they could do it.
Who do they beat?
It's easy to say Kansas City. It's been those two teams for so long now. I'm just trying to think who else it.
Who's the NFC team? Who's the NFC team that they beat in the Super Bowl then? Who do you put?
I would never bet this. The Eagles are the best team. In my mind, and they just keep adding more and more to it. I probably wouldn't take them because they're such a huge favorite. But when I was looking at their roster before the season last year, I was like, who has better talent than this, assuming Jalen Hurts plays well? And Jalen Hurts played out of his mind. I mean, but for one play, they probably win the Super Bowl and he's MVP. And we're having a whole different conversation right now about him. But, you know, this is a team. When they added A.J. Brown, in my mind, behind that brilliant offensive line, and Jalen Hurts played the way that he played last year, and A.J. Brown could do those read option slants and catch and run kind of things, I think they have the most talent. And Jalen Carter coming on, in my opinion, was the best player in the draft last year. They're loaded. They got their two corners back. It's a loaded football team.
Well, 1 week from tonight, can't wait to watch you in the booth, listen to you in the booth, kicking it all off when we'll either be talking about the Chiefs being a dynasty because we overreact, or the Lions will start getting everybody's attention. You know, like, this is going to be great. I can't wait. What a fun game this is, Chris. I look forward to it.
I was surprised the Lions got the opening night game. But the more I study them, you know, you win 8 of your last 10, and your offense is the fourth-ranked offense, something like that in the league, and their defense was 32nd, and I guarantee you their defense is going to be middle of the pack this year. They are much, much better, much improved in the secondary. So it's going to be fun. It'll be a great night.
Well, last time Goff and Mahomes faced off under the lights, 105 points. I know Todd Gurley's not walking through that door, to use the Patino phrase, but it's going to be fun. I look forward to it. I really do, Chris. Thanks for the time here, as always.
Bye, buddy. Good talking to you, man.
Right back at you. The one and only Chris Collinsworth from Football Night in America. And you can join Chris 1 week from tonight with Mike Tirico, Melissa Stark on the sideline, on the call of Lions at Chiefs in the NFL kickoff game on NBC and Peacock. Fun stuff there. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kirk Ferentz of Iowa Football coming up next hour. But we still have time to chat with you when we return.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
And then Mahomes, the memories of you just sitting next to Mahomes, just sitting right next to him as soon as he comes off the field, just chit-chatting. How do you think that helped his development and did lead to the guy who's like, let's use the wasp, you know, in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl trying to turn things around?
Yeah, listen, it's a trust thing. I know he wants to be the best. He's not going to sit there and boast about that and tell people, but he wants to maximize all of his potential. As a coach, you love that. So he wants you to give him one more thing to even be greater than what he already is. And you can appreciate that. And he's going to do nothing but get better, Rich. That's what's so great.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy, right? I mean, what does he have to improve on, Andy? What do you think?
Well, I joke him. I say, listen, quarterbacking's a lot like being a farmer. Like, the work's never done. There's something in the game that you can work on, and then it's our responsibility to give them new challenges. And so there's so much you can do offensively in football right now, and there's no rules as far as there. I mean, there are certain rules. We still got to stop at red lights, but it's there's a lot of ways to get to it. So the expansion, I guess, of offenses with the way the colleges are playing now is greater than it's ever been. And we're able to utilize more field than we've ever used. And so let's explore that. And let's not say anything's impossible until we prove it's impossible ourselves. Let's try that. And then we'll see where we end up. You know, who knows?
Andy Reid scheduled to appear on this show Tuesday of next week to kick things off prior to him kicking things off against the Detroit Lions right here on our show. So we're back here on our program. Anything stand out from Chris Collinsworth to you?
Interesting Super Bowl prediction.
Yeah.
It's what we've been talking about.
Well, Cincinnati versus the Eagles. Cincinnati came close to making it last year, as he talked about the Joseph Asai shoveout. Might have changed things. They might have made it back-to-back seasons. Yeah. It's all on Joe's cap. I was going to ask him at the end, but we were running out of time, if there are places in worship there in his city of Cincinnati that are praying for a calf muscle.
Yeah.
But Joe's back. I mean, he looks good.
I mean, does he? We just saw him walking. So
he tweeted out some, or posted on Instagram, some old photo of him in a really tight Cavs jersey. I think that's the indication that he's going to be there week one to face Cleveland.
Zach Taylor, the man who on July 27th, in the first blush of the shocking news and video of Joe Burrow hurting his leg, and it looked like it had torn Achilles written all over it, saying it would be several weeks until he returned to action. And he returned yesterday, right? That would be August 30th.
That's four. Several is four.
But he wouldn't say 4 to 6 weeks. You know how much, more relaxed everyone would be in Cincinnati if he said 4 to 6 weeks. But he said several weeks. Zach Taylor met with the media today.
I thought he looked good. You know, it was good to get him out there. You know, it certainly energizes the team when you get a chance to get your starting quarterback back out there. So I thought he looked good.
He's starting week one, baby. Here we go. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow. And I thought it was interesting about what Collinsworth said, that look around that locker room because –
yeah, this could be the last ride.
This is the last ride for everybody who's going to be in that locker room because Joe's about to get paid. However, I want to see when this contract hits what it looks like. You know, obviously, Joe wants his. He deserves it. He's going to get his. But he also knows he wants to throw to T. Higgins. He's got to throw to Jamar Chase. He wants to throw to Tyler Boyd. He wants to hand off to Mixon. So hometown kid or home state kid wants to, what do you get, hometown discount? Hometown discounts these days are what? Like $50 million bucks? Some discount.
35.
I mean, you ain't doing
in terms of the Jets.
35. The Rogers discount.
So
play now, pay later.
There's a reason why this team that had the family name on the stadium decided to go and sell the naming rights.
It's not a coincidence.
And that's why Paycor is, I've been calling it Peugeot Stadium since the first time I saw that name. Paycor versus Acrisure. So, here we go.
Sounds like some villains in a Batman flick.
Yeah, right?
Here we go, guys. It's coming. Answers are finally coming.
It's going to be great.
And he also said what I've been saying. Chris Collinsworth has said what I have been saying. Why not the Jets? Because it's all set up. And the guy who drafted so well that the team's readiness outgrew and outpaced the readiness of the quarterback in shocking fashion to the point where they had to make this switch. And thank goodness Aaron Rodgers was available and eager to make the switch. Had an intention of making the switch. Joe Douglas asked about the expectation level of this team going into 2023.
We're not running. We're hiding from any expectations that are out there. You know, I think when the dust settles, you want to be in the conversation as one of those teams that can compete for a Super Bowl. you know, you get a ticket into the dance and anything happens. And so I think with the training camp we've had, I think the job that the players have done, the job that the coaching staff has done, we're ready. But we're really not looking any further than the Buffalo Bills. I mean, again, guys, it's a three-time defending AFC East champions are coming into MetLife, and so we know what kind of task that is to compete against them. And so, and then after that, we're going to be looking at that opponent, you know, going down to Dallas and playing in a hostile environment. So, you know, we're just going to take this one day, one week at a time.
There you go.
Only answer you can give. What is he going to? Joe Douglas is going to say, "Look, there's only one Joe who talks about guarantees around here. Right? My last name ain't Namath." Okay.
I like this at the end.
They don't make the playoffs, it's a total disappointment.
Yep.
They make the playoffs. Let's see what happens when they get in the dance, as he said. But this is a playoff team. I mean, remove the name Jets. Put the name Patriots on it, and everybody's talking about this is a Super Bowl back. We're back, baby. Seriously, take that name off. Put the Steelers on it. Put the Chiefs on it. Take the name off. Put the Cowboys on it.
What might be a step back?
Put the Eagles on it. No, seriously. Honestly. No, take the name off, but you put the Jets on it? Same thing like putting the Chargers on it. Honestly. People are like, oh, okay. We're just not used to that. We got to end this jinx. This 12 years of no playoffs. That ends this year. It ends this year.
Drinks around the house.
Just and everybody who listens to me right now, understand, we're very fragile people. Let us have this. For the moment. Right now. Right now. Okay? Because for the next 10 days, I can have this. So let me have it,
enjoy,
all right?
Enjoy yourself. You've had it for months.
But it's now finally here.
By the way, Mike and Chris, did you notice the look on Rich's face?
Rich
had this look on his face.
Yes. Like, I'm a glow. I'm a glow.
There were like
I am a glow.
Popping out.
I am absolutely 100% totally a glow. Hour three coming up. And just again, let me just make this statement here. I might repeat it, not in these exact words. Certainly to bar owners in Milwaukee as well. Just let us Jets fans have this moment. And then if it falls flat and it falls, then you can have your say. You know, fine. Just let us right now have it. It's called hope.
You know that's
and it's
how
been
this works,
so
right?
long. It's been so long since I've had it. I know exactly when hope went out the window.
Oh.
And I know where hope resides.
Wait. Don't say the Buffalo.
I have pinpointed it.
Don't say the Buffalo.
I'm going to say it. Hope went out the window and resides in the butt cheeks of Brandon Moore. That's where it is. Honestly, we had hope. Jets fans had hope. Ground and pound. Rex Ryan, back-to-back AFC championship games. And then on a Thanksgiving night, the football god said, "Taint no more hope around here."
Taint.
In front of the entire country on the beachfront property of Thanksgiving night. I believe Chris Collinsworth was in the booth for that.
Vince Wilfork threw that dude right into
yes.
to so Mark Sanchez's face.
Ever since that day, no hope. Not like this. So I just ask, let's have it right now. No, hey, come on. Let's not roll the...
Mark, I want you to have my cheese trial.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.